Stuart stretched himself and turned the processor block off. He'd been trying to keep their work records and payments up to date. It had always seemed so easy when Darcy was handling it. "Okay, we'll get closed up." "We'll be the last in the city. There's been no traffic outside for the last 2 hours. Everyone else has gone home scared of these invaders."
"Aren't you?"
"No, not really. I haven't got anything an army would want." "You can stay here tonight. I don't think it'll be safe walking home through this town now, not with the way the people are on edge. There's enough food."
"Thanks. I'll go and shut the doors."
Stuart watched the younger man through the glass partition as he made his way past the workbenches to the warehouse's big doors. "I ought to be worried," he thought. "Some of the rumors flying around town are blatantly unreal, but something is happening upriver." He gave the warehouse a more thoughtful glance. With its mahogany walls, it was strong enough to withstand any casual attempt at damage. But there were a lot of valuable tools and equipment inside, and everybody knew that. Maybe we should be boarding the windows up. There was no such thing as an insurance industry on Lalonde. If the warehouse went, so did their jobs. He turned back to the office windows, giving them a more objective appraisal. The frames were heavy enough to nail planks across. Someone was walking down the muddy road outside. It was difficult to see with the way the rain was smearing the glass, but it looked like a man dressed in a suit, a very strange suit. It was grey with a long jacket, and there was no seal up the front, only buttons. And he wore a black hat that looked like a 50-centimeter column of brushed velvet. His right hand gripped a silver-topped cane. Rain bounced off him as though his antique clothes were coated in frictionless plastic.
"Stuart!" Gavin called from somewhere in the warehouse.
"Stuart, come back here!"
"No, look at this!"
"There's three of them in here, Stuart!"
The native panic in Gavin's voice made him turn reluctantly from the window. He squinted through the partition wall. It was dark in the cavernous warehouse, and Gavin had shut the wide doors. Stuart couldn't see where he'd got to. Humanoid shapes were moving around them by the stacks of crates, bigger than men, and it was just too gloomy to make out quite what. The window behind him gave a loud grating moan. He whirled round. The frames groaned again, as though they had been shoved by a hurricane blast. But the rain was falling quite normally outside. It couldn't be the wind. The man in the grey suit was standing in the middle of the road, cane pressing into the mud, both hands resting on the silver pommel. He stared directly at Stuart.
"Stuart!" Gavin yelled.
The window panes cracked, fissures multiplying and interlacing. Animal reflex made Stuart spin round, his arms coming up to protect his head.
They're going to smash!
A 2.5-meter-tall yeti was standing pressed up against the glass of the partition wall. Its ochre fur was matted and greasy. Red baboon lips were peeled back to show stained fangs. He gagged at it in amazement, recoiling. All the glass in the office shattered at once. In the instant before he slammed his eyelids shut, he was engulfed by a beautiful prismatic cloud of diamonds, sparkling and shimmering in the weak light. Then the slivers of glass penetrated his skin. Blood frothed out of 1,000 shallow cuts, staining every square centimeter of his clothes a bright crimson. His skin went numb as his brain rejected outright the shocking level of pain. His sight, the misty vermilion of tightly shut eyes, turned scarlet. Pain stars flared purple. Then the universe went harrowingly black. Through the numbness he could feel hot coals burning in his eye sockets.
"Blind! I'm blind!"
He couldn't even tell if his voice was working.
"It doesn't have to be like that," someone said to him. "We can help you. We can let you see again."
He tried to open his eyelids. There was a loathsome sensation of thin tissues ripping, and still there was only blackness. Pain began to ooze its way inwards, pain from every part of his body. He knew he was falling, plummeting to the ground. Then the pain in his legs faded, replaced by a blissful liquid chill, as if he was bathing in a mountain tarn.
he was given his sight back, a spectral girl sketched against the infinite darkness.